Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Go ahead and find in your Bibles Matthew chapter 11. All right. Let's go there and we'll start there this evening. Matthew chapter 11. I'm actually going to start a series on Wednesday nights. And on resting in God, that's the title of it, resting in God. And the subtitle to it, which you don't have to write on this, you know, anything, you don't have to write this on the video, but the subtitle, if I had to give it a subtitle, and I will, is Leaving the Results to God. Come on now. Leaving the Results to God. I thought about titling it that way, but that's kind of a long title. So we'll call it Resting in God, because that's what we're going to be talking about, resting in God. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you." And the King James I'm reading out of says, "Learn of me," or "learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find," everybody say it, "rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, one of the things that is a blessing is rest. Amen. You know, there's times that maybe I'm kind of wiped out and I can just go and take, I call them power naps, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then I wake up and I'm good. I'm ready to go. Phyllis said it doesn't work for her that way. She has to have 3 hours. But I'm wired a little different, you know, and I can just do 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Sometimes I maybe done 5 minutes and wake up and say, man, I feel good, you know, because it did something to me. It put something in me and rejuvenated me. And so rest is something that God wants us to have. Amen? And the believer's life should be a life of rest. Now, this word rest means intermission, to pause, or to cease from labor. Now, let me know that sometimes during the year, you may pause or cease from labor. What do we usually call that?
Vacation.
A vacation. Hallelujah. And everybody's vacation's different. Some people like to go to Disney World. I would not consider that a vacation. I consider that torture. I get no rest out of fighting crowds to ride a stupid ride. I am the type of guy, if it were, you know, if it were my will, if I got my will, got my way, I'd live in a really small city. Now, you know, Evansville's not a giant city, but, you know, I don't like people in my way. And I trust the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Which in a smaller city, I wouldn't have that as bad. I would live in a place where maybe there's two or three, you know, at the most four stoplights. If they put a fifth one up, I'd probably move. My idea of the perfect town is Mayberry, where the big activity today is go to the filling station and get a bottle of pop, Huckleberry Smash. That. I'm happy. You know, some people, I want to live in a bigger city. What for? There's just so much more to do. Listen, man, do you realize, you know how many, just even in Evansville, how many Mexican restaurants we have? Or Chinese restaurants? I love Mexican and Chinese. I like to go to Mexican and Chinese restaurants. Amen. And so, you know, I asked someone the other day, I said, "Where do you want to go?" They said, "Well, we haven't had Mexican for a while. Would you like to go there?" I said, "Well, I've had it twice this week, but let's go." I'm good. Amen. But I'm fine if I live in a city where there's only one of those. At least there's one and I don't have to think about where I'm going. Amen. So, you know, vacation for me is to get away from the crowds, to get away from the hustle. Now, that may not be for you. You may like that. Some people do. Some people like to go to the, you know, to the really what they call the hot spots. If that's what you like, that may be vacation to you. But for me, I don't like that. That's not vacation for me. I mean, I don't want to have to I don't want to have to drive, you know, through 3 hours of traffic to get somewhere. Right now, I live 10 minutes, maybe less, from church, and I'm thinking about maybe I need to move closer. But, you know, here's the thing. God wants our lives to be lives of rest. In other words, the Christian life should be like, when we live it right, like we're on vacation. A good vacation. You say, well, I ain't living it right, Pastor. Well, that's what this series is about, to help us live it right. Amen? I said amen? Amen. So, you know, we're going to do it on Wednesday night, you know, and we'll do other things on Sunday morning. Of course, next Wednesday night, I'm not going to preach on this. I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, the Lord Jesus, the Savior coming, but all. But anyway, we're going to do this for a little while. Did you ever think about this, that, you know, in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. Why? You think God was tired? I mean, the Bible says he never gets weary. He never slumbers. So why did he rest? Well, we'll talk about that some coming up in the future. But what I want to say to you is, what did God make on the sixth day? He made man on the sixth day. Adam and Eve were made on the sixth day. Now, when you understand the Jewish, their day's different than ours, where, you know, their day runs from sundown to sun up. You understand? So if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's only 3 hours left in the day for the Jews. We said, was God a Jew? Well, you know, this is the way God made things, see. Jesus was a Jew, right? Yeah, right? You know, someone texts me, you know, when all the, you know, this year there's been so much crazy things going on. This is the craziest year I've ever lived. It really is. I mean, as far as our country, you know, yeah. Personally, my life's been pretty much the same, except wearing a stupid mask. Doth this offend you? That's just how I feel about it, you know. But anyway, you do what you do. But during all the racial issues, someone texted me and they said, well, I'm having this discussion, and it sounded like it was getting a little heated, about whether Jesus was black or whether he was white. Now, I've learned a long time ago, it depends on what church you go to. You know, I went to a black church, and in their foyer, they had a picture of Jesus praying at Gethsemane. He was white, curly hair, black man. I go to another church, a white church, and he looks like he's from West Texas. So I told this person, I said, he wasn't either one of those. He was Jewish. He probably had olive color skin, a little darker skin. So, and it's not about what Jesus was. It's not about what Jesus was. It's about who he's made us to be in Christ Jesus. Come on, are you with me now? See, when we get born again, we can forget all this black, white, all the other collar stuff. Come on. We're all one in Christ. We're all one family. Praise God. Amen? Yeah. And so this is the devil that's doing these things. And the church needs to be the one that stands up against us and say, wait a minute, there's no difference in people. Amen. Right? I mean, I've noticed over the years some black people, they wanna make their skin lighter. And light people, they go get fried like a piece of toast and pay for it to get darker. Are you with me now? See, the world majors on stuff like that. The church, it shouldn't be in the church. The only thing I admired about Billy Graham was during all the racial tensions and all, he defied. He would go into some areas where there was a lot of prejudice and a lot of race issues, and he'd set up his tent and you come to his tent, it didn't matter what color you were, you were treated the same. You didn't have to sit in the back. Not at his meetings. And he didn't care what the local authorities or anybody thought about it. He stood for what was right. This is the kingdom of God. You come into this tent, you're no longer black or white. You're children of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And that's the way it's got to be. Amen. Amen. So, now, Adam and Eve. We got off on that, talking about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day, right? So, the day, the Hebrew day begins at sundown, so it gets dark. Now, I'm just speculating. I don't think God created them in the dark. I think He created them when it was light, which means it's the last part of the day. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Do you even care? I really got a point here if you'll just listen. See, so it tells me He creates him, and the next thing that happens is they enter into rest. God said, take the day off. He said, well, I didn't know Adam worked to start with. Well, see, you read your Bible in Genesis chapter 2:15, it says God put him in the garden to tend it and keep it. So he was doing some kind of labor, see. It wasn't until he fell that it really became work. See, when you're laboring in God, it's not work of the flesh. It was after he fell that God said, now you're going to have to earn your bread by the sweat of your face. He wasn't doing that before. Even though he's laboring, it wasn't the same type of labor. Amen? So their first full day was a day of rest. Amen. Now, the reason why, if we're not in rest, I'll tell you why the reason we're not in rest is because we're doing our work and God's work. That's very important that you get that. See, God, listen, how many know you need to do your part and God will do His part, which His part is the results. But we can get caught up doing our part and then trying to do God's part, and that's where you get wore out. What do I mean? Well, think about this. If you let's just say you needed a job. You got laid off, you need a job. And so, I call you up and I say, hey, what you doing? Well, I'm just laying here on the couch and drinking Dr. Pepper, eating ho-hos, bonbons, watching The Price is Right. And I'm just believing God's going to get me a job. See, we have to talk. We have to have a come to Jesus moment. Because here's the thing. You know what God expects you to do? It's getting real quiet now. You know what God expects you to do? Some of you don't know what God expects you to do. That's why you're on the couch drinking Dr. Pepper, eating bonbons. Here's what God expects you. He expects you to get out and look. Put in applications. Now, what He does not expect you to do is produce the results. If you're trusting Him for a job, you should trust Him to produce the results because His results will be better than your results. I'm telling you, God can put you in places you don't belong. God can put you in places you're not qualified to be there, but He can qualify and get it to you anyway. I mean, don't just see, that's what happens a lot of times is people, well, I've only got this much education, my resume's not that great. Well, listen, don't just depend on that. That's, you're just dependent on your part. You do your part. You knock on the doors. You do your part, right? See, just talking about things in the that we're believing God for. You do your part. You find out what the Bible says. You do your part. You confess what God's Word says. But you don't have to do the part to bring it to pass. You can enter into rest. That's God's job. I mean, I've had things in my life, and I know you have too, where, and I've even said to God before, I've said, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. I don't know what else to do. And Lord, I've done everything. If this is going to get fixed, you're going to have to fix it. Well, I mean, that's what I should have been doing to start with. But, the way people are sometimes, or at least the way I am sometimes, is if I'm not watchful, I have to wait till I get to that place where I've exasperated all the avenue, all that I can do, And I finally said, God, I can't fix this thing. And so, and then I give it to him. You know, I had some just recently, you know, and I said, God, I've done everything I know to do. I don't know what else to do here. I said, if this is going to get fixed, you're going to have to fix it. You know, it was amazing. I was just out, you know, I was going for a walk that day, and I was just out. And when I said that, all of a sudden, the peace of God hit me. I thought, whoa, that's what God was waiting on all along. See, that's when I finally got it off of me and got it on him, and he started doing his part. And he can do a whole lot more than I can do. And you can do, right? So we have to understand that we do our part. We do our part. We do what we're supposed to. We're not just lazy and say, well, I'm just going to trust God and we don't do anything. We do what we can, what we're supposed to do. I mean, we got a responsibility. We're co-laborers with God. So we got our part to do, but the results, that's not our part. The results is up to God. That's where we can rest. Once we know we've done, you know, what we're supposed to do, then the results is up to God. Lord, I found out what your word said about healing. I've spoken that over my life. Results is up to you. It's in your hands. But see, what happens is a lot of times people say, I've just put it over in God's hands, and what they mean is I'm not going to do anything. You know, I think about, you know, the work thing. You know, how many of you do what you can do, but you leave it to God and he'll get you the, my goodness, he'll get you a job that you think you'd be shaking your head. Like, how did this happen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you say, I don't want a job, Pastor. Well, okay, that's another story altogether. I'm not telling you have to believe for one. I'm just using that as an example. Is that all right? You know, so I don't want one. Hey. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Let me show you something here. Isaiah 11. There's a few things I want to look at tonight, if we have the time. But Isaiah chapter 11, let's go there. Because God's really into this rest thing. And I'm going to show you that. There's a principle in the Old Testament I want to bring to you. And so God is really into this. He's really into us entering into his rest. Isaiah chapter 11. Got it? All right, let's start with verse 6. It says, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid or the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed or graze. The young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The sucking child or the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp or a cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice or the viper's den. Now here's the reason why. He says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There is something about the knowledge of God that causes harmony in the world. And it'll cause harmony in your life. See, one of the things that the world is, they're so blinded that they want to kick God, they want to kick his word out, and it's the very thing that will fix the issues that they're trying to fix. The results would be totally different if we lived by God's word. There wouldn't be any war in our country, in our earth, that is, our planet. There wouldn't be any lack. You want to know something else? If we live by the word of God, there wouldn't be any sickness. All this COVID stuff is because people don't live by God's word. What do I mean? I'm not talking about people that individually get it. I'm talking about the thing itself. If we live by the word of God, this stuff wouldn't be going on. Amen. See, God said, when the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, the child can play on the cobra's, right on the cobra's hole, right on the viper's den. The child can play there because they won't harm one another. They won't do that. But why? Because of the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Now he went on to say, he said, and in that day there shall be, let me back up, let me stop just for a minute. How many of that, the day that he's describing here, this day is coming. I said, this day is coming. But what I'm going to extract from this is a principle. There's a reason why this day is coming. The reason why this day is coming is because the earth's going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Amen? Well, we don't have to wait till the earth gets full of the knowledge of the Lord for us to get full of the knowledge of the Lord. So if this produces this result in the whole earth, what will it do in your life if you get full of the knowledge of the Lord? Peter said it like this. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can literally have a life of peace and harmony as we get full of the knowledge of God. Amen. And now notice verse 10. He said, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Now that's talking about Jesus. He's the root of Jesse. You know who Jesse, know who Jesse is.
Yes.
Jesse was David's father, you know. And Jesus was of the lineage of the house of David, see. Yeah. So he's the root of Jesse. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Now, ensign is the King James word. Some say the banner or the standard. In other words, it's what you rally around. You know, you go to war, you rally around the flag. You know what I'm saying? Right? Sundays, some of you rally around the coach flag. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. When they were in the Super Bowl, that when some of y'all had coach jerseys on when you came to church, ties underneath of it. I remember I walked in and there were some people working and they had the coach jersey on and they had their tie underneath it. And they go, Pastor, we'll take it off for the service. I said, no, leave it on. Let's have some fun. And up on the board on the screen, how many remember that morning? It said precious. They were playing the New Orleans Saints. Remember that? And on the screen, someone had put precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And because of our pride, our coach got beat that night. But have you know, Jesus is the banner that we're rallying around. And look what he said would happen when we rally around that banner. He said, and verse 10, and there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
Amen.
Now, that's what we read in Matthew. We just read Matthew chapter 11. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Isaiah put it a different way. Jesus may have been thinking about this scripture in Isaiah about himself when he said that. Isaiah put it this way. He's an ensign for the people. We're going to gather around him, and when we gather around him, his rest will be glorious. Man, I can testify to that. When I got saved, whoo, hallelujah, the rest was glorious. I tell this story, I'm a little hesitant because I don't want people to think I'm weird, but yet it happened. You say, well, Pastor, we already think you are, so go ahead and tell it. But when I got saved, you know, I came out of a really bad lifestyle. And so I gave my life to Jesus Christ on a Sunday night, and I was at a church, and I went home. Actually, what's really cool is this Sunday will be my 39th spiritual birthday. And Brother Eddie, who's preaching, was preaching the night I got saved. I answered his altar call. He doesn't know that yet, but I'm going to let him know. He'll be here preaching again for my spiritual birthday, so I'm going to get saved again Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Now, so, you know... I went home, and when I went home, I went back to my bedroom, you know, to sit on the bed. I was getting ready to go to bed. And when I sat down, what I thought to myself was, I thought, man, I have not felt peace like this ever in my life. Ever. It just engulfed me. Now, I'm just a babe in the Lord. I don't know anything about demons. I don't know who Brother Hagin is. I haven't read his books. I don't know who any of these people are. I know who Billy Graham is. I know who the pastor of the church was where I got saved, Dad. I know who he is. I don't really know him yet, but I know his name, you know. I don't know anything. What I'm trying to say is what I'm about to tell you, it couldn't have been a spiritual charismatic hallucination because I didn't know enough to make anything up. Does that make sense to you? I don't know if that makes sense to you, but see, sometimes they know enough to make some stuff up, you know, like I saw this, I saw that, I saw this, I saw that. Don't let me forget, I was on my bed. Everybody say he was on his bed. A minister said one time, he said, you know, I'd preach at this church, you know, and he said, every time, you know, the power of God would get moving, we'd feel God's presence. He said that this lady would stand up and say, I see Jesus. He said, you know, after about 100 times of that, nobody believed her any longer. He said, one night, he said, I was there preaching, and he said, you know, the power of God came in, the presence of God filled the service. She stood up and said, folks, this time I really do see Jesus. He said, we actually believed her then. It's like, finally. But what I'm telling you, I didn't know enough to make anything up. I sat on my bed, I looked, and I saw this little imp-like creature, like a demon, go out my window of my bedroom. I didn't know what happened. I just thought, that was strange. And I forgot about it. You know, I mean, just what I mean, I forgot about it. I didn't forget about it, but I just let it go. I didn't go ask the pastor what happened. I just thought, that was strange. That was weird. But later on, I found out that that was a demonic force that had been in my room and messing with me. You know, and I guess he liked my company, I guess. He and I guess we're a lot alike. But anyway, but when I walked in with that glory on me, he decided, I'm not welcome here anymore. I'm getting out of here. I'm booking. You know, our partnership is dissolved. I can tell that. But what I want to say, the rest that I felt come on me, that came on me because I gathered to Jesus. I gathered to the banner. Hallelujah. And it was glorious. Amen. And so, you know, we as believers, we can start out our lives, Christian lives that way, but then we begin to, you know, try to do God's job. We begin to try to produce the results, and the next thing you know, we're weary. You can be spiritual and be weary, heavy laden. The Pharisees were. They added things instead of just trusting God. It's all going to work out. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we're in the Old Testament. Let's go, and we'll try to hurry here. Let's go to Leviticus. You getting something out of this? Yeah. Leviticus 26. So we're just talking about resting in God. And like I said, subtitle will be leaving the results to God. You do what you can do, and then He does the rest. Hallelujah. You do what you know to do, and He does the rest. Amen. Thank God His Word will change your life. You know that? I was ministering to a guy years ago, and I went to see him. He had cancer. He was actually dying of cancer. And I just was quoting him the scripture out of Proverbs chapter 4, where it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And I'd never seen this before. All of a sudden, the words, they are life unto those that find them, that just jumped out at me. And I realized, what do you mean find them? Anybody can find them. You can go to a Bible bookstore and find them, right? But what God's saying is when you find them living on the inside of you, that's when they really work for you, when they start living on the inside of you. When you fill yourself with the knowledge of the glory of God. When you fill yourself with His knowledge. Amen? And so, you know, I got a new revelation ministering to this guy. The guy's name was Job. And so, Mr. Job, you know, he got some preaching to that day. Praise God. Because I just got a fresh revelation, and I'm just like 22 years old. And so, I mean, I'm looking for somebody to preach to. You know what I'm talking about? And so, Mr. Job got the whole load. That was like 22, 23, 24 years old at the time. Now, here in Leviticus, let's look at this. Leviticus chapter 25. You ready? How many really enjoyed reading Leviticus in your Bible reading program? What was that? Was that a moan? This is the word, folks. Leviticus. I know some portions are a little more taxing than other portions. I understand. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18. Go there. God said, "Wherefore, if you do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, you shall dwell in the land in safety." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do what I say, you're going to be safe. "And the land shall yield her fruit. You shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, 'What shall we eat the seventh year?' Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase." Now let's stop there before we read the rest of this. Let me explain to you what's going on here. God has already told the Israelites, He's already told them, when you come into the land of promise, the promised land, when you come into that, He said, "Here's the way I want you to do it. I want you to take one day a week off." One day a week. "Then I want you to take 1 year off every 7 years. Give the land rest." I mean, I'm already liking this program. How about you? How many would like to have 1 year every 7 years off? I'm thinking, let's go back to that. Well, I don't know, though. I'm a pastor. I wouldn't be able to get off. And if you guys were off for a year, I might not see you for the whole year. I don't know where you'd go. So God simply said, He said, now this was not a suggestion. I mean, God doesn't have 10 suggestions. He has 10 what? Commandments. This was a commandment. God told the children of Israel, every seventh day, the Sabbath day, you take that day off. One day a week is dedicated to me. 1 year, every 7 years, the land rests. You take that off. Now, obviously, if you're not going to work, the question would be, how am I going to make it? Right? I mean, that's just a legitimate question. Here's what God said. Now, He said, verse 20, "And if you shall say, 'What shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we will not sow nor gather in our increase,' then I will command my blessings upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring fruit for 3 years. You shall sow the eighth year, eat of the old fruit until the ninth year, and until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." So God said to them, this is so good. God said to them, "I want you to take every seventh year off." Now, when you ask me, what are we going to do? What are we going to eat? God said, "I'm going to command my blessing on you, and the 6 years are going to produce so much that it'll last 3 years." See, God is able to do more than what you should be able to do. See, we've got to understand, we've got to factor in the supernatural. We've got to factor in the anointing. We've got to factor in His glory. See, if you just think in terms of, well, what I have to do, well, it won't work for you. Right? If it's just in the natural, you take every seventh year off, you're going to go hungry. But God said, if you obey me, He said, I'll command my blessing on you. And I want to go talk about the blessing, but I'm going to hold that for next time. But I tell you, there's some good things when you talk about God commanding His blessing. Amen. So sometimes we think, well, man, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, how about just obey Him? Do what He said, and He'll command the blessing. Right? See, you know, the Bible tells us as believers to go lay hands on the sick. But you know what? A lot of believers don't do that because they think, what if they don't get healed? See, what's happening there? Here's what's happening there. You are taking responsibility for the results. God just told you what to do, right? He produces the results. Remember that scripture in Acts where it says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Who did? You know, that's the King James. God wrought. Who did the rotting? God did the rotting, right? Okay. The working. Who did the working? All God said is, I got to have some hands. You do your part, I'll produce the blessing. You do what I say, I'll cause it to be blessed. Well, a lot of people just don't, not doing, not you, I'm not accusing you, but a lot of people don't do what God said. He doesn't have anything to bless. He didn't have anything to command the blessing on. See, we're going to see Israel didn't do this, and God couldn't command the blessing because they didn't do it. Amen. See, Israel was supposed to be, listen, here's what God was saying. Israel was supposed to be an example to the nation of what it's like to serve Jehovah God and have the blessing on you. See, all the other nations are working 7 days a week to try to get wealthy, to try to get blessed. But here God said, you're my people. I don't want you working 7 days a week. I want you to work 6 days a week. And I don't even want you working 7 years straight. You work 6 years and take a year off. And I'm still going to have you more blessed than all the heathen nations around you. And they'll look at that and see that it's Jehovah God. Amen. That's command the blessing on his people. Come on. See, we're to provoke, the Bible says, to jealousy by the blessing of God on our life. Amen. See, the Bible says, us Gentiles, because the Jews, you know, have, not all, but they left the gospel, right, as a nation. Now, so they're still believing Jews, Messianic Jews, of course. But as a nation, and God, through the Apostle Paul, said the Gentiles, God's supposed to, he wants to pour his blessing on us so much that we provoke the Jews to jealousy. And we want to preach about a gospel of poverty and make them jealous? Jews don't believe that. They believe God blesses people. Used to do business with this one Jewish man. And he was a blessed man. And Kenley knew him. I won't mention his name. But he also at one time was a senator in Kentucky. I think you knew him. And anyway, but he opened his own business up, you know. And so he had this belief, you know. I don't know where he got it at. But he had this belief that you have to make the first sale on Monday morning. And if you do, the week's going to be great. So if you could catch him on Monday morning, he gonna make you a deal. And I went over there, you know, and it was when we were getting ready to start our church. I went over, you know, I want to buy some chairs off of this guy, you know, because we, you know, if you have a church, people want to sit down. I don't know, lazy outfits. But anyway, so we, you know, I'm going over to buy chairs off of him, and he gave me this really great price. He gave me this really great price. Oh, man, that's a good price. But, you know, being the hard-headed guy that I am at times, I thought, I'm still going to look around. But, you know, I already know this is a really good price. So I look around, and that was a good price. I'm going back to him. I go back to him, and the price is higher. And I said to him, I said, wait a minute here. You told me the other day, you'd sell them to me for this. He said, well, you should have bought them then. And he wouldn't come down. You see, God wanted the nation of Israel so blessed that the nations would look at them and say, wait a minute, they take a whole year off? You know what? You know, how many know how long a whole year is? 365 days. What would happen to you without God's help if you took a year off? The whole year. And yet they're more blessed than all the nations around them. God said you'll be the head and not the tail, above only not beneath. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Now, all right, we're getting ready to close. Leviticus 26, get there. Next chapter. Here's what God said would happen if they didn't do this, if they didn't enter into the rest of God. They didn't let the land rest. Here's what God said would happen. Verse 33, and I will scatter you among the heathen and draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you shall be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate. Notice this, it shall rest because, everybody say because, it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. In other words, God said, if you don't do this, there's really some bad things going to happen in your life. Now, you know, we're in this new covenant. They're children of God. Things are different than what they were then. But I still believe there's a principle here that if we don't learn to enter into the rest of God and leave the results to Him, bad things start happening in our life. Things start happening that aren't good. And it's all because we just didn't trust God. Hey, Matt? Come on. Say amen or... Or you could say, oh, me. But either one works. Let's go one last scripture, 2 Chronicles. That's still in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. Because I want to show you something here. Israel never did do this. God told them what would happen if they didn't. Now, I don't get it. If I worked a secular job, if I worked for a company, and the boss said, take the year off. I'll pay you so much this year, it'll take care of you. I'm doing it. Anybody else joining me? I'm doing it. I'm like, man, thank God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm doing it. Why? Because it's a blessing. Could you imagine what could happen to you in that year? I mean, you could get refreshed, rejuvenated, gain 35 pounds. Think what could happen to you in that year. All the blessings that could come on your life. Not 35 pounds. That's not a blessing. But you know what I'm saying? You could really do some things. This is what God was offering Israel. And they turned it down. Now look what happened here in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 20. It says, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. This is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, where they were servants to him. Did I tell you the right? 2 Chronicles 36. Did anybody hear me say that? Verse 20. Anybody hear me say that?
Yep.
All right, are you there? And them that carried, and them that had escaped from the sword carried him away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years or 70 years. Now, how long was Israel in captivity in Babylon? Come on, Bible scholars. 70 years. 70 years. They were carried away, and God said the reason why is because you didn't let the land rest, and the land's collecting on you. Now that you're out of it, it's rested for 70 years. Now, what does that mean? God said take every seventh year off, right? So 70 of those years, they didn't do it. What is 70 times 7? 490 years. What does that tell you? So for 490 years, Israel did not keep the Sabbath year. For 490 years, God has a lot of patience. Really? He told them to do this way back there in Leviticus. He said, when you get into the land, do this. For 490 years, they didn't do it. So the land had been cheated out of 70 years of rest. So God said, you're going into captivity. You're not going to rest. There's a rest being forced on you. Y'all see some of your faces. Well, you say, God's going to do that to me? No, but what I'm saying to you, this is a spiritual principle that if we don't enter into the rest of God, it'll take a toll on us. It will be exacted. God's not doing it. We're children of God. We're in the new covenant. But the principle's still the same. If we don't learn to leave the outcome to God, the results to God, then it ends up taking a toll, whether it's on our physical health, our spiritual life, our marriages, our finances, our children. It'll take a toll. Man, have you ever seen people that are broken down with worry? How many of our presidents have gone in to office with dark color hair and end up with gray hair? Now, Trump went in with red, and he still got red. I don't think much affects him at all. But man, I remember President Bush, President Obama. I remember when they both went in. They looked a lot younger. It took a toll on them, see. What is that? That's the stress. That's the anxiety. That's the worry. But as children of God, we got to learn how to cast that over on the Lord. Do our part. Do what we know to do. And just leave the results up to God. Lord, I've done everything I know to do. Results are yours. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm entering into rest. Glory to God. I just believe you'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the story, you can go ahead and close your Bibles. The story, the great man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, who was, you know, an apostle of faith, you know, from Bradford, England. You know, he had a meeting in this hotel area, like a hotel thing. And he said that, you know, when it was done, the proprietor came to him and handed him the bill. And he said, you owe this. He said, you owe this. Well, Wigglesworth didn't have the money. He had the meeting, but the money didn't come in to pay for the meeting. And he hands this bill to Wigglesworth, and Wigglesworth threw it down on the floor. He said, that's not my bill, that's God's, and walked off. I'm not really recommending his method, okay? But what I'm showing you, there's a principle here. He refused to carry the care of that. And so if that's what he had to do to get that cast off of him, that's what he did. Now, the bill got paid because he really cast it over on the Lord. He did his part. He had the meeting God told him to have. And the results were up to God. One last story. I'm going to anyway. And if you're going to act that way, I'm going to penalize you 10 minutes and go 10 more. Okay? Now, this guy told the story. He said the Lord led him to rent. It was a minister, not a newbie, not somebody that's flaky or weird or nuts. But the Lord led him to minister, to have a meeting at this, it was like a convention type center. It was a pretty large one, really. And he said he rented the hall, he rented this place to have a meeting. And he said it was like a really bad snowstorm hit that night. And nobody came. Nobody. Zero. I mean, I've had some bad crowds, but hey, amen. I've always had Scott. He has to be here, you know, he's filming. I mean, I've had some crowds. I mean, this year I've had some bad crowds. Haven't we, Scott? I mean, I've had someone good to preach to, but not too many numbers, you know, with all this COVID going on when we've had to, just he and I. We had zero show up. You know what he said he did? See, God, he said he knew. God told him to have a meeting. He said he got up. He said, I preached. Nobody there. He said, I just got up and preached. Preached the word. That would be hard to do. He said, I went my way. He said, a few years later, I ran into this guy. And he said, this guy said to him, this is a true story. This guy said to him, he said, I know it sounds outlandish, but God does outlandish things. This guy said to him, he said, do you remember the night that you rented that auditorium and nobody came? And you got up and preached anyway? He said, yeah. How did you know about that? He said, because I'm the janitor. I was the janitor that worked for this auditorium. He said, I was there that night. You didn't know I was there. But he said, I was there as the janitor. He said, I gave my life to Jesus that night when you got done preaching. Amen. Let me think, God probably knew he was there. You think God would orchestrate a meeting to get one person saved? Do you think that God would have you spend a lot of money just to preach the gospel to one person? I heard a minister say one time, he said, the Lord said to him, he said, I want you to go to Israel. He said, what for? He said, there's a woman there I want you to minister to. He said, a woman? He said, yes. He said, and you're the only one she'll listen to. He said, Lord, do you know how much that'll cost? He said, the Lord said back to him, I can afford it. He said, I went over there, went all from the United States all the way to Israel, looked up this woman, and minister to her, and she got help. Don't you think God loves you that much? Did He? Hallelujah. I know He would. Amen. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I'm entering into rest. I'm entering into the rest of God. I'm leaving the results to God. Let's say this. I'm going to do my part. God's going to do His part. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.